And good morning, friends, and welcome to this, the Monday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're coming to you live from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And welcome back to the Grace Hour broadcast, friends. We know that, well, some of you probably realized we were missing all last week. And, of course, the Greater Grace World Outreach 2022 International Convention was happening all week long. We hope that many of you were able to join us online if you were not able to be here in person. And, of course, we halted our Grace Hour broadcasts for the week so that we could focus on the International Convention, which was a tremendous week. And we hope to hear from some of you today that perhaps have returned back to your respective homes, churches, ministries, and families. And we look forward to hearing from you, and maybe you could share with us a testimony about your time here in Baltimore last week. It was a memorable week, to say the least, and of course, well attended, considering the fact, of course, that the last couple of years we were dealing with the pandemic. But that seems to be, for the most part, behind us, and we had a tremendous week together. Again, as we said, love to hear from some of you. If you can give us a call later in the broadcast, and you can share with us about the courage that God poured into your heart all week long. That, of course, was our theme for this year's International Convention, Take Courage. And we trust that many of you that were here, and even those of you that joined us online, picked up that courage, placed it in your hearts, and brought it back to your churches, your ministries, to your part of the world, and will now share it with others. Again, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and we've got a brand new week of broadcasting ahead for you, and we're going to piggyback on that theme of this year's International Convention, which was to take courage, and this week's theme here in our broadcast will be Awakened to Courage. Again, when the phone lines are open, you can join us on the broadcast. Here is our toll-free number, a number that you can dial in all of North America. That's 800-338-7060. Again, that is the toll-free number, and you can dial that number anywhere in North America, 800-338-7060. The local number, for those of you listening in the greater Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. And again, you can reach us with your comments or questions live on gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. And, of course, our broadcast goes out over a number of platforms such as Apple, Google, Spotify, Audible, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio, just to name a few. And if you don't have the opportunity to listen to us live, you can catch up with us later as this broadcast will be archived on all of those platforms and more. So again, as we mentioned, fresh off a week of, I think a memorable week for anyone and everyone that had the opportunity to be here, and even those of you that were listening online, you'd have to agree that it was a tremendous time of fellowship, and courage indeed was poured into our hearts. And when those phone lines are open a little later in today's broadcast, we do look forward to hearing from some of you, and hope you'll take the time to pick up that phone and join us live and share your thoughts from last week's International Convention. Today's theme on the Grace Hour, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. From 2 Timothy chapter 1, Pastor Schiavelli has joined us in the studio. He'll share some thoughts on that theme, and then we'll be back with you live to take your calls. Welcome.
Thank you. Is it exactly that way, or is it power, love, and a sound mind?
Power, love, and a sound mind.
I was wondering, because I've been getting a little bit rattled by that one lately myself. I keep saying it the wrong way, but love, power, love, and a sound mind.
As long as we cover all those bases.
We're going to cover all those bases, I pray. Such a great doctrine, such a great thought pattern on taking courage, and I think I said at the beginning of this week, it's not you working up courage based upon the old sin nature, even its good side, or taking natural human fleshly courage, but it's taking courage. You're taking it from God. Take courage. You take it, like you would take anything else. Take courage. And it's really a grace-given courage. It's not something that is produced by man. It is not sourced in this world system or anything that is produced outside of God, but you take courage. You take courage from God. And this was very important for Timothy, because if you could imagine what it would have been like to follow the Apostle Paul, that he, you know, discipled Timothy, met him in Lystra, and, you know, took him with him. And imagine watching all these things that take place as Timothy is sitting there being discipled and learning and growing, but seeing every kind of opposition that would come against the Apostle Paul, the warfare, the battles. Just read 2 Corinthians 11:18 through 12:10 if you want to get a good picture of the outward ministry of the Apostle Paul. It's quite something. 2 Corinthians 11:18 through 12:10. So there could have been a possibility that Timothy could be a little bit, you know, anxious or concerned or even living in a bit of fear about what's going to happen when Paul goes off the scene. And 2 Timothy is Paul's last epistle written from a prison. And now Timothy was going to be taking over as maybe the leader or pastor, one aspect of the ministry. Just like Joshua was told four times in Joshua chapter 1, he's going to follow Moses. And he has been with Moses all the way from Exodus 17 and on. And he's seen so many things that have taken place in God's plan and what Moses received, what Moses did, and what Moses was against, up against persecution, opposition, what happened in Egypt. And Joshua had to see all those things, and God would say to him four times, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage, because he needed that courage. And I thought that maybe Joshua had courage to fight in Exodus 17. He was a good fighter physically with a sword and a good warrior and a soldier. But what about courage to lead? And I think this is the same thing that's facing Timothy. So yeah, as we heard that verse, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And it's not the normal word for fear, which is phobeo, but it really is a word that means actually cowardice. You know, God didn't make you timid or give you any spirit of cowardice. And I think it's very important to live in what God has given, not to live in what God has not given. You know, that can be a real problem. Living, a message I preached years ago, I remember, living in the given. Sounded like a one of those songs that they sing, country songs, living in the given, something like that. But living in what God has given. So he says to Timothy right away, God has not given you a spirit of timidity or of fear. He hasn't given you that. That did not come from God. That comes from the old sin nature. That comes from projections by the enemy. This idea, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And that's great to know that God never gives that. God cannot give that. How could God give something that he is not? God cannot give us fear, because God himself doesn't live in fear or timidity. But he hasn't given you that. And so this is Paul's last letter as he's going off the scene in Christianity, and he's on his last part of his journey. And he says, that hasn't been given to you by God. But here's what he did give you. And this is what it's important for you and I to live in, or for Timothy to live in. He's given you power. And that power comes from the Holy Spirit. That power comes from the Holy Spirit. He's given you the Spirit. He's given you the power of the Spirit. That we have power and strength based upon the Holy Spirit and his life living in us. Okay? And we spoke this morning to a Zoom meeting in Bangalore, India. We talked about strength and power. And we talked about inward strength. We talked about upward strength, inward strength, outward strength, and onward strength. But God gives this strength. So he has given you power, Timothy. You're going to have power to lead. You're going to have power to resist the devil. You're going to have power to go against the opposition. You're going to have power to go against those who would be contrary to the gospel. You're going to have power when it comes to having victory over your old sin nature. You're going to have power so that the world's ways do not infiltrate. The cultural ways of those days will not infiltrate. I'm going to give you the Spirit's power. So you read Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. They were told as they were getting ready to be commissioned by Jesus Christ that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. But you're going to first receive, before you try to do that, receive power. Receive power from God. So the person of the Holy Spirit has power. How do we live the Christian life? Through the power of human flesh? Through the power of good flesh? Through some kind of power that comes contrary or outside of who God is? We live the Christian life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Who can perform the Word of God? Well, the Spirit wrote the Word of God, and the Spirit's power can perform the Word of God. And he says, he hasn't given you fear, but he's given you power, Holy Spirit's power. Then the second thing he's given is love. And I liken this to the Father's love. We have the Spirit's power, now we have the Father's love. That you are loved by your Father in heaven. He's given you love. He's given you agape love. He's given you unconditional love. He's given you unending love. He's given you sacrificial love. He's given you constraining love. He's giving you eternal love. He's given you personal love. That you've been given the love of God the Father, the one who has the plan and the purpose, loves you. So he has given this to you, power and love. And then it says, a sound mind. And that's the mind of the Son. You can see how the entire Trinity could be related to this verse. The Spirit's power, the Father's love, and the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:14-16 talks about we have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you. Verse 5, and be like-minded. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So we have the sound mind of the Son of God. We have God's mind. We receive God's thoughts in Isaiah 55:8-10. And God's thoughts will develop into God's mind. God's mind. This is what you have, Timothy. Yes, you have a call and a purpose. Verse 9 talks about his call and his purpose. He has saved you and called you. Not according to your own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given you in Christ Jesus before the world began. What he's given you in the call and purpose of God. Some people could be very intimidated about God's call and God's purpose. What they simply have to understand is, with the call and purpose comes the Spirit's power, the Father's love, and the mind of the Son. So as we close this devotional, we thank God that just as Timothy would receive power, love, and a sound mind, so can each one of us, in whatever God has called us to and whatever purpose we have, whatever's going on in our lives, practically speaking, personally speaking, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So, Father, we thank you today. We pray that you would bless our time on the air. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning edition of our broadcast. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, we have been away from the studios for this past week, enjoying the Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention right here in Baltimore. And we hope that some of you were able to watch live online if you were not able to be here. And we also would like to extend the invitation to those of you that have returned home, your respective homes, churches, and ministries, in some cases even families. And if you can, give us a call. Those phone lines are now open. We're ready to receive your phone calls, and we'll continue to discuss this great theme of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 with you, mm-hmm. and give you the opportunity to weigh in and share your thoughts with us. You know, it's interesting, Pastor Shabelli, for those that understand the fact that Timothy, of course, had to deal with that subject of timidity, because, again, there was no real father figure in his life, raised by his mother, grandmother, and, of course, their influence was profound, obviously. But yet at the same time, he was, you know, naturally speaking, given over to this spirit of fear. And it's interesting because the next verse really puts verse 7 in perspective when Paul said, "Don't therefore be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord," which, of course, you know, many believers would say, "Look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel." But then Paul went on and said, "Nor of me, his prisoner." In other words, it's possible not to be ashamed of Christ, but perhaps it's possible to be ashamed of those who represent Christ, because in Paul's case, I mean, gosh, look at all the trouble that followed him. He's in prison. You know, it would be easy for some to approach Timothy and say, you know, why do you continue to associate with the likes of Paul?
A criminal?
He's in prison.
A criminal. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Ashamed. You know, it's interesting. When you think, there's three things that are said here that love, power, and power, love, and a sound mind can keep us from. The first one is fear. Timothy could easily fear, okay? And we can live in fear. The second one was ashamed. By the way, the word fear means you just kind of run away. You know what the word ashamed means? You shrink down. You shrink. And then turn away, you just walk away. So turning away. He uses those three words. There's three possibilities that were mentioned in chapter 1. Fear, ashamed, and turning away. You know, he said everybody's turned away. Everybody's turned away. You know, all Asia has turned away, he says. So, Timothy, don't live in fear, don't be ashamed, and don't turn away. But the Father's love will take care of the fear, the Son's mind will take care of being ashamed, and the Spirit's power will keep you from turning away. So these three are key, okay? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit giving us power, love, and a sound mind. And that's what really will make his ministry fruitful. Because, of course, it could happen. Wow. And then you can say to yourself, look what happened to him. And look what happened to Peter. And look what happened to some of these men and the apostles, those 11 men. What took place? And wow, I think I'm going to just take a little vacation to the mountains and maybe never come back, you know? And yeah, that could be a natural thought pattern. And I think many people would say, well, God hasn't really called me. But I think maybe the fear, the shame, and those things that take place can keep them from coming to God and even going forward and fulfilling a call and a purpose in God, because they're living in a fear, being ashamed, and ends up having them turn away.
It's true. You know, a little later in this same second epistle to Timothy, Paul writes and says, Demas, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Perhaps it was because, you know, the fact that Paul was as persecuted as he was, and, you know, there were so many who turned against him, perhaps Demas thought to himself, you know, I need a new, I need some new company. Well, and he turned to the world.
And isn't that amazing? Because I think if you check this for me, in Colossians chapter 4 and in Philemon, that Demas actually went to jail with Paul. It's interesting, you know, that he was a fellow prisoner, called a fellow prisoner, fellow laborer, fellow prisoner. Something happened to him. And maybe he just said, like, you know what? I don't want this to happen again. Okay. Happened once, not going to happen again. And I'm out of here, you know. And so people can turn away. You know, it's interesting in this epistle, 2 Timothy, I think I'm right, but you can check me. I think he names six enemies, six personal enemies in this book. And then he names 16 friends. I was thanking God that there are 16 friends and six enemies, not the other way around. You know, but he had a lot of men that he spoke about, especially in the fourth chapter. And these people, like, you know, they just had, power, love, and a sound mind. They received it from God, so they stayed with him. They were his friends. And, you know, it's pretty risky to be the friend of the Apostle Paul, or to be the friend of anybody that might be in a lot of trouble based upon the gospel.
Yeah. And I think that some of our listeners, even ourselves, we can identify with what Paul was writing there to Timothy, because over the years, I've had, you know, different people will approach us and say, you know, you got a good ministry there. You know, God is moving, but if you could just set yourself apart from Pastor Stevens.
Yeah.
I can recall vividly that people would, other believers, well-meaning believers, yeah, apparently saying, you know, just, it's too muddy, it's too dirty, it's too risky, you know, there's too much controversy,
yeah,
too many articles have been written, too many other Christians are talking. If you just kind of stay clear of him,
yeah,
God would really bless
when
you.
When people said that to me, I decided just to go closer.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
the exact opposite. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, it, and by the way, it is not really them. It is satanic accusation.
Of course.
It is. It's satanic accusation. And, you know, so should I? Jesus was crucified as a criminal. Do you realize out there as you're listening to me that you and I are following a criminal according to the world's way of doing things? I mean, and Peter was a criminal. He ended up in jail. And Paul was a criminal. He ended up in jail. The 11 died martyrs' deaths. So you're associated with people that the world said were criminals. It's the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah. Moses was a murderer. You know, we always have that phrase, statement that 50 or 55% of the Bible is written by three murderers.
That's right.
Moses, David, and Saul of Tarsus, you know. So yeah, God was not afraid to associate with them. They were forgiven.
Yeah.
And they had mercy.
I love that. That's such a great. And I think behind that, these people that say, you know, separate yourself from the man that's being persecuted, hated, misunderstood, it's almost as if they're suggesting that if you did that, you would never be persecuted.
Oh, yeah.
The world, sure, would embrace you. You'd be loved. But Jesus is the one who said, listen, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you.
They,
if they hated me,
yep,
they'll hate you. So, I mean, as you said, don't make it about people. This is about spiritual principles.
Absolutely.
Keep your eyes on those spiritual principles. And Paul had to do that. And it's interesting that he even had to write that to Timothy and to tell him the truth. I know your background. I know your makeup. There is a spirit of timidity in your life.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that that's not from God, but this is from God. Power, love, and a sound mind.
Thank God for Lois and Eunice too, huh?
Yeah.
It seems like, because his father was a Greek, an unbeliever, but it seems like Lois and Eunice did quite a job. You know, that sometimes you'll hear, and I know that it can be detrimental to somebody's spiritual growth, but they're raising a family and one of the parents is missing or something. You know what happened to Timothy? Spiritually speaking, his father was missing, but the grandmother and the mother did quite a job in raising him up, you know, and that's amazing. So we can talk about that and say that, you know, that's not the best way of doing it. We understand that. But you know what? God can go beyond even that.
That's right. Thank God for godly moms, godly grandmothers, people,
yep,
that are praying for us. And it didn't hurt that Timothy had close association with the Apostle Paul.
He did. He,
yeah,
did.
Yeah. That can make all the difference in a person's life. Let's go to our first caller today. George is joining us.
George?
As we get back in the saddle here on the Grace Hour and start a brand new week,
George,
of broadcasting.
Has power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes, he does. George, welcome.
Yes.
Amen. I love
he
you.
He has
Thank
it.
You so much. Yeah, you know, I love what you're sharing this morning. It's just so powerful. And, you know, I want to read, you know, from 2 Timothy 1:7 in the Amplified, because I know you're going to love it. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving, and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Mm. I love that. That's just so, you know, that's why I love the Amplified so much. It just takes it to that next level. You know, it's like, wow. You know, and, you know, when you were talking, Pastor, about, you know, taking courage, Pastor Bell, you know, like we're partakers of a divine nature, and you even taught in a class recently on that. And, you know, God wants us to take it, you know, take it. It's there. It's there.
See, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and then I think about, you know, the Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, you know, when they were looking at the Lord and the people he was associating, like you were just talking about. And Caiaphas was saying, tax collectors, harlots, you know, what does this mean? You know, and like, to Jesus, you know, he just loved. He just loved. And I think, you know, like when we go out and we go out to share Christ, I think we just boldly claim the truth, you know, and just be all things to all people, be sensitive in the Holy Spirit, listen, you know, when we're sharing and when we're exchanging at the doors, you know. I think it's just so important to just be sensitive, listen, but come back with truth. Come back with truth. Don't waver. Just come back at it. Just come back. God is with us there. He's with us right there in that moment. He wants to bless us. He wants to just anoint us with power of the Spirit. And we need, it's time to just slash, baby. Slash.
You get a two, you get a five-minute penalty for doing that in the ice.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's interesting? I was reading this morning. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, David goes to the cave Adullam, and the word Adullam means the place of God's delight. He goes there, and 400 men join him. Okay, they became 600 eventually, but 400 men join him. This was their condition. It says they were in distress. They were in debt. They owed money. And they were in despair. They were like, you know, confused in their mind.
Yeah.
And these men were still with David. In 2 Samuel 23, you see David back at the cave Adullam. And for 40-something years, these men became his mighty men. They stuck with him. Okay? Yeah. They came discontent, in debt, and in despair. But these men became, and you know, I think Ahithophel said one time to Absalom, Absalom had a very large army. Over 100,000. And he said, if you meet your father in the wilderness with his 600, you lose. Because they're men that are two categories, two adjectives that describe them. They were chafed in the mind, mentally ill, you know, in one aspect, or they were they fought with God, and they had valiant hearts. And those guys were like, you know, and I love studying them. You know, there's the first. There's the number one that's under David, then there's the first three, the second three, then there's the 30, then there's the 563. And it's amazing. These men were with him for decades. And they were called mighty men. They were with him from beginning to end, and they didn't fear. And they had valiant hearts, you know. They had hearts like lions and whatnot. And you just didn't want to, you know, David wants a drink of water, they're going to fight through two armies to get in, to get to the place where the water is. Then they got to fight back through two armies again just to bring them some water, you know? And that's how they were. They were chafed in the mind, which means they were, according to how the world would look at it, they were not balanced very well, you know? And they had hearts that were valiant. And one guy, I mean, you just read about them sometimes. You want to take courage, one guy killing 300 people by himself, you know? It's like, you know, and really, it's courage is based upon faith, and faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So that's very important for us to be reading the Bible. Whenever you can sense that you're at a place where you're starting to lack courage or you're lacking courage, just read the word of God and then mix faith with what you hear and watch how the courage just flows.
Amen. That's beautiful, Pastor. And you know what? The Word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces the heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's just, yeah, I mean, that's great. I love that about David and all those soldiers and everything like that. And their hearts, like you're talking about their hearts, were so, you know, and what were they doing? They were taking courage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they had a sound mind. They were taking courage, you know. So, man, that's powerful.
And I like how Saul had no mighty men. Like Pastor Shiloh preached that once, right? Saul had no mighty men. And you know what? And Saul himself didn't have courage, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't have courage. And by the way, he was a taker, but he wasn't taking courage. He just, if you read 1 Samuel, I think it's 8. He take. I think it's 8 times. And Saul would take. You know, he would take. So God gives courage, okay?
Yes.
He gives courage. And that's amazing. As he gives us his armor in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, we can take courage because he's giving us the armor of God. And that gives us courage. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10.
Thanks for the call, George.
Praise God. That's beautiful. Love you dearly.
God bless you. Phone lines are open. You can join us live on this, the Monday morning edition of the Grace Hour. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And if you'd like to join us locally, that number is 410-483-3700. I'll read some of these comments that we're getting in our chat here on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and gracehour.org. Tess writes, I've been so saturated, stirred up with the word and love because of Convention 2022. Thanks be to God for our ministry. Always glorifying Christ, our living hope. Regards from Sweden. Although, she says, I'm still here in the White Marsh area in Maryland for the next 3 weeks. Please pray for divine appointments for soul winning. Thanks, pastors. Yes, indeed. God give her those appointments where she can share Christ with others. R.G. Campbell, who came out and joined us from Las Vegas, is indeed back in Las Vegas. He says, we're still glowing from the convention. We have taken courage. We will stay courageous and strong in the Lord. Amen. Lydia sends her blessings to us as well. And let's see, Pauline, all the way, I think she's in, Calcutta, India.
Oh.
And she says, of our own courage, we would be lost, but with the power of the Spirit, we'll walk boldly and we'll be full of courage. Asif sends his greetings from Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
And if we can scroll down again, we will see who else has joined us. Pastor Benjamin says, love, power, sound mind, just exactly what I need, and God has provided it. We need the power of the Spirit to survive in this troubled world. That's from Pauline. And Yupi writes, will you pray for my friend Catherine's return to the Lord? Well, Father, we do. Don't know Catherine's situation, at least the particulars, but we do know this. You long to have those that have strayed away from you back in the fold. So please touch her heart. Turn her, Lord. Turn her, and she will be turned. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Karina says, thank you for the beautiful time in Baltimore. That's from Karina. Thank you, Karina. Appreciate that so much. Great to have you here. And friends, the phone lines are open. And for those of you that have made it back to your respective homes, ministries,
call us.
Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you live on this, the Monday morning edition of the Grace Hour.
And I love it. Daniel, 17 years old. And there's no fear when it comes to the king, you know. In chapter 1 of Daniel, they want to change their names. You know, let's change their names. Let's change their learning. Let's change their language. Let's change their foods. And the objective is so we can change their king. You know what? But he would not defile himself with the king's food. And he stood strong along with the three Hebrew boys. They just said they stood strong. There's like four young men, 17 years old or so, and they are going to go up against a mighty empire and Nebuchadnezzar, you know. And what ended up happening? Nebuchadnezzar was looking for dog food, but he found grass. He was eating grass for how many months was it? He was out there quite a while.
I think it was, 4 to 6 months?
4 to 6 months. He's like a wild animal out in the garden. Where's Nebi? He's out there. That he went from Nebuchadnezzar to, like, his dog name was Nebi. And that was the end of him. And he's out there. What happened? You know, these four men, young men with courage. Ruth had courage, really. Mordecai helped Esther to have courage. She wasn't quite sure. She says, you know, do you know what happens when you go into the king and you're not called? If he doesn't hold out the scepter, you're in big trouble. And Mordecai told her, listen, if we perish, you're going to perish with us, you know. And then she took courage. Mordecai infused courage into her, and she went forward and saved the nation. She saved the nation. She took courage. One person taking courage can change the history of a family. One person taking courage can change a marriage, can change a family, okay, can change a workplace, you know. And I remember working in a prison for years, and in that prison there was like so much evil, you know. There was men that were criminals there. I often wondered that the people that worked in the prison, if they weren't as bad as the ones behind the bars, you know. It's really interesting, you know. And to go in there. And I remember I was doing that by myself for a long time. And then another believer came to work in the prison. We had such great fellowship, you know. I can say that honestly, I could dread going in there every single day because, you know, these people have nothing to lose. They're in there for the rest of their life. So what they do to you doesn't matter. Doesn't change their sentence any, you know. And had to take courage. That was on a daily basis, taking courage from God. And as we face this life every single day, we need courage. You need courage to drive down 95, don't you? The way people drive nowadays.
Oh, no
what's
doubt.
Going on? Is that because there's no police on the roads? And they're just taking advantage of that or what?
I don't know. It seemed to almost be even greater, more magnified during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, where there was like very little traffic on the roads. And then the next thing you know, the highways are flooded with drivers again, and everybody just seems to be in such a real hurry to get nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it. I saw a guy, they like cross four lanes
sure.
sideways.
Yes.
I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, you know?
Yeah.
And it almost makes you just want to use the back roads, and you know, where there's some stoplights that people have to stop, although sometimes maybe they don't even do that, you know?
It's crazy times.
Yep.
We're going to take our next caller in just a moment, but to go back to that thought that you talked about Daniel and his three friends in the book of Daniel, the first chapter, Nebuchadnezzar, again, taking them captive and bringing them to Babylon from Israel at that time, and then, you know, changing their diet, changing their names, just kind of baptizing them into the culture of Babylon. I mean, isn't that still happening today?
Sure.
Not by Nebuchadnezzar, but by the God of this world, how he would love to take believers, change their identity, you know, change their lives by immersing them in the culture and giving them an altogether different identity than the one God wants them to have and experience.
Well, I think one of the keys is he's changed their learning. Like, he doesn't want them learning about God. He wants them learning about the world system and evil. So you change their learning, then you change their language, then you keep making changes. You change their names, you know. I mean, it's interesting when you look at the names that are given there, what those names were changed from and what they were changed into. It's totally another kingdom.
Yeah. And, of course, that behind that, again, we're talking about the spiritual principles. That's the God of this world.
Yes.
Who, again, if you're a believer, okay, he knows that you belong to God, and unfortunately, he knows more doctrine than some believers know, because some believers think they can lose their salvation. He knows that that's not possible,
yeah.
But at least he continues to make every attempt to keep them from being conformed into the image of God's Son. He does not want that to happen. I mean, I think he works overtime to make sure that we don't end up just like Christ.
He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, you know?
It's the truth.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rick. He's joining us from out in Las Vegas and going to share with us a little bit of a convention recap. Rick, welcome.
Well, thank you, Pastor Love, and thank you, Pastor Schiavelli. I'm just thinking that John Nielsen is probably still picking up seeds that you were sowing on Missions Night.
Oh, my goodness. I know I saw him last night, and he just laughed at me, so I'm glad he didn't yell at me. He laughed at me. But yeah, I threw quite a few out there and hoping, I like the visual stuff many times, like having been a preacher and pastoring in Africa since 1986, just illustrations like that, physical illustrations are very much a key to having people remember the scriptures and the word of God. And especially when you're speaking to people, it's 110 degrees and they're sitting there, you know. And it's like you can easily like lose your attention. Your attention span is a little bit less than an air-conditioned room. Not that they can't lose their attention then, but the seeds, you know, the seeds are a key. And that's what we're doing. We're just throwing seeds out, gospel seeds. And you know, sometimes they land on concrete, nothing grows. And sometimes they land on soil that's really good soil and something takes place. So, yeah, it's fun.
No, it's very effective, and I was thinking the same thing. We have to just keep going with the gospel, like you say, because obviously the Lord will create the increase. But you know, I was just so thankful and grateful for everything that the team there at the home base in Baltimore does, you know, in preparation.
Mm-hmm.
It's really mind-blowing. Just the access to all of our wonderful pastors and missionaries from around the world. And, you know, my key, you know, you probably saw me running around feverishly trying to track down people. But I wanted to bring back as much of the convention with us to the home team in Las Vegas, because one thing that really opened up my eyes last year was the interconnectedness of the body in this ministry. And you helped me, Pastor Schiavelli, get this out of my vocabulary, a small church. So, you know, if somebody comes in through the doors at our humble local assembly, if that sounds better, in Las Vegas, well, they might be fooled by a couple dozen or a few dozen human bodies in the building. But I wanted people, especially with the new growth we've had, I want them to understand that we're part of a great big church, a great big body in Christ,
mm-hmm.
worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yes, and it was an amazing convention, and it caused me to take a lot of courage.
Amen.
You know, you listen to speaker after speaker about courage, taking courage, you know, and you know, it's interesting how that can take place where you just lose courage. You know, the initiations of the enemy, the initiations of the world, the initiations of your old sin nature, all being sources of trying to rob the courage that we have from God, and rob the strength and the courage that we have. And, you know, I just love, you know, taking courage and how Joshua did that. And I can imagine you're going into, you're a new leader. You're taking over from Moses. You're going into a new land. You're going to face new enemies. The old provision is gone, manna. Now it's the fruit of the land, new provision. I mean, a new task ahead of you. And all these new things that Joshua would have to face. And yet, it was so key for him to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. New land, new people, new enemies, new culture, new foods. You know, really, it's really interesting, you know, what takes place. And he would need to have a lot of courage. Especially as a leader, what happens to a congregation if the leadership of the church doesn't have any courage? You know, isn't willing to take steps of faith? Isn't willing to just, you know, go beyond into the regions beyond and take courage and then to have prayer meetings and take courage, have a Bible school, take courage, learn the Bible. And leadership without courage produces a people without courage. Sometimes people will have courage for something, and then 5 years later, that's over. They become somehow very much you know, happy and satisfied with what has taken place, but they never take courage to take the next step.
Rick, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And we're going to move on. We have other callers, but thanks for joining us all week long here for the convention. All right, let's take our next caller from Brooklyn, New York. I believe it's Angelina. Angelina, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go right ahead. Hello?
Wow, hello?
Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Angeline from Brooklyn. Hi, pastors.
Hi.
How are you? Wow, this is like an experience of living in heaven while on earth. You know, and I just wanted to give God thanks and praise and just worship him for what he supplied us with, these fresh new lines of thinking in a world full of chaos with trouble pressing on every side. We need courage.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fresh rain, well, the beginning of understanding and how, and seeing, you know, one of the pastors last week spoke about receiving three new spirits. And I like how I understood it from the way you said it, Pastor Schiavelli, and how we have the spirit of the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
and how you associate it with the power and the love and the
sound mind,
soundness of mind, only through the Holy Spirit. So how else can we have soundness of mind? Temperance, you know, self-control. I've tried all my life, and it's just, you know, thank you, Lord, for the Word and the Holy Spirit, your grace that's allowing me to live as a living epistle, because it is true. And I know, I'm testifying that, yes, Lord, everything that you have said is true. Because what can control the tongue except the Holy Spirit, you know? Amen. Now you have control over the whole body, you know? I can't control my entire, you know, this old sin nature. But glory, hallelujah, for a new life. And just you know, and like you said, Pastor Love, about, you know, it's a ministry. You know, and we're not set apart from this ministry. I'm just grateful for how we have this opportunity and provision.
Amen.
To seek ye first the kingdom of God. Thank you.
And you are, you know,
greater grace for the just making this available. Sorry, Pastor Sibeli.
No, you're a great example of somebody, of a woman of God who has courage. And I know what's taking place in your life. And your situation right now, and all that's going on, like, you are like this amazing vessel of courage. And to see you and your daughter, and faithfulness to the church in Brooklyn, and Pastor Sterling, and all that's going on there, it just gives us courage.
Yes.
I look at you and I get courage, because God is using you.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, if I thought with the mind of the world, that's not included.
Amen.
It's true.
At all. If I thought with the world, thank you.
Angela, thank you.
I'm built up, and I'm so edified. Thank you, pastors. Thank God for greater grace in all the local assemblies.
Amen. Amen.
Appreciate the call, Angela. Thanks for giving us some courage today. Let's go back to the phones right here in Baltimore. Aretta is ready to join us live on the Grace Hour. Aretta, welcome.
Good morning, Pastor Love, Pastor Sibeli.
Morning.
Me and my grandson, we enjoy the convention services. And I still have my seed right here on the bedside. My seed, Dr. Sibeli, which you were showing on the platform.
Yeah, Pastor Sibeli. Just for our listeners, Aretta, Pastor Sibeli was up in the pulpit, and he was throwing out the seed, which represents the Word of God, and saying, sow the seed, take it with you, spread it around the globe.
Yeah, Pastor Lover, Pastor Sibeli, let me tell you something, and Pastor Shala, I'm so glad we have wonderful, faithful, dedicated pastors. Oh, my goodness, I enjoy every one of you. And I enjoy all the speakers. It's a blessing, and my grandson is growing in Christ.
Amen.
You know what I feel so proud of as a grandmother? That everything Tori read in the scriptures they do not understand, it come right to his grandma.
Wow.
And I mean, oh, yes. And he's growing daily. He went down to the convention Saturday morning, and the sun was piping hot. He came back, he went in the chapel, he said he didn't see no one, so he came back home, went back Saturday night. He's so faithful into the scriptures, and he's growing, and I feel so blessed that when my dear Lord called me home, I know I leave a legacy behind. And I'm encouraging him every day, every one of my children and grandchildren. And I have two little great-granddaughters. You don't know I'm praying for them. You see, the Supreme Court passed the bill?
Yes.
Passed the love? It's
yes,
rejoicing in my heart.
Yep.
To ban abortion.
Yes, life. Thank God they chose life.
But look at my two grandchildren coming up, my great-granddaughters coming up. You don't know I'm praying for them daily, nonstop.
Amen. That's beautiful. Aretta, thank you. Great to hear from you.
Love you. Bless you. Have a blessed day. Love you all.
Yep.
All right. Wow. Appreciate it. You still have time to join us, friends, at 800-338-7060. That is toll-free locally right here in Baltimore. You can join us at 410-483-3700. One of our listeners sent us an email asking a question. How do you deal with the fear of relapsing? I want to believe that God gave me victory over sin and addiction, but I find myself afraid of what's around the corner.
Nope.
How do I trust God that he will keep me from falling?
Believe the Bible. How about this verse? Forgetting those things that are behind, Philippians 3:13, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Number two, that's your old sin nature. Think in the new mind with the new man, okay? Don't think about that. It's you, and you're new, and you're in Christ. And don't allow, when projections come, there's two things that can happen. We have reflections from the old sin nature inwardly, and we have projections from the world and the devil outwardly. And what we need to do is have a sword of the Spirit in one hand and a shield of faith in the other. And so we just cast down 2 Corinthians 10:4. That could be a primary verse along with Titus, along with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought, not some, every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ, that I'm not going to give place to the devil. And Jesus said in John 8:31-36, he said, my word has no place in you. And when that happens, we give a place to the devil, Ephesians 4:27. So John 8:31-36 and Ephesians 4:27, you give a place to the word, and there's no place for the enemy. There's no place. There's no place. So you have to think with the word, and you don't fear. Don't fear. God has given you a spirit of fear. Don't fear tomorrow or what you think's going to happen, what you imagine, or your imaginations, or you know, am I going to relapse or whatnot? But remember, God loves you. He cares for you. He has a provision for you. He has put his spirit in you. You can live by faith in him, and he will have the absolute victory, not just positionally at the cross, but experientially in your life.
And amen? I think the whole question he asked, you know, about being afraid of what's around the corner. Hey, remember God's promise, book of Deuteronomy, as your days, so shall your strength be. Don't worry about what's around the corner, because sometimes what's around the corner never happens, never comes to pass. So just, again, trust God for today. Live in the victory of the moment, and just keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Christ.
Live today.
Yeah, that's it.
Today.
That's why they call it the present, because it's a gift. Don't, you know, sometimes what we do is we crucify this great gift called today between these two terrible thieves of yesterday and tomorrow.
Yes.
And we can't afford to do that. We hope that that helps the Grace Hour listener who sent that email. And of course, Father, we pray for this brother or sister. We don't know who it is, but we just pray that this fear would be removed and replaced by faith. Confidence, not in himself, but in who you are. And we pray that he would continue to experience victory as he goes from faith to faith, grace through grace, and again, victory to victory.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Got a few more comments sent to us today. Melanie has weighed in, says, thank you, pastors. Judy Lee Grant down in Florida is listening. And Tony asks an interesting question.
Tony?
He says, is loving others a learned behavior?
Well, when you relate the idea of learned behavior to psychology or something, then, but obviously, loving and receiving God's love and then growing in that love. Okay, Thessalonians, it speaks a lot about growing in that love. So I think it's we receive the Holy Spirit. He sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts, and it's important for me to learn to be a receiver of that love. And yes, we can see love maturing over the course of years, that maybe it starts small, but it just grows. The love of God grows, you know. And Ephesians 3:16-21, it's a great portion of that. So in one aspect, you could say, I'm learning from God's love. John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loves. He said it 5 times in John's gospel. And he was growing and he was learning. He was being loved by God, and he was learning from God. By the way, it's very easy to learn from somebody who loves you. If you got somebody in front of you that hates you, a teacher that doesn't like you or hates you, it's going to be difficult to learn anything from that person, you know. But Jesus loves us, And we can learn from one who loves us. That's so key.
Wow, that's a great answer. It is something that, like as you said, the maturation of love. You live in it. You keep receiving it from mm-hmm. God. You grow in it. And I think doesn't it start with a choice? We make a choice
yes.
to love people.
Yes.
Even the unlovely people we choose to love. Jesus said, you know, if you love those that love you, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
But when you start to love those who despitefully use you, hate you, abuse you, yes. that is a different quality of character altogether. Well, but Christ gives us
yeah.
that.
What happened to the Church of Ephesus? They stop perceiving.
Yeah.
They stop perceiving love.
That's right.
You've left me your best love, your first love. Mm. You know? And so that's what can happen. I was talking to somebody today and I said, what happens when you stop breathing? They said you die. I said, what happens when you stop perceiving spiritually? They yeah. said, oh, I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's like if I stop receiving air, say goodbye.
Let's take our final caller of today's Grace Hour broadcast. Rich is joining us from up in Buffalo, New York. Rich, welcome.
Buffalo.
Yes. Hi, Pastor Schiavelli. How you doing?
Great. Good to hear from
we're
you.
We're not in Buffalo, but we're doing good.
Well, you're lucky you're not in Buffalo.
No snow yet, is there?
Exactly. Well, I just wanted to comment. I wanted to thank you for putting convention online.
Amen.
I haven't been to a convention in probably 20 years now. And I just really enjoyed. I wasn't able to make every session, but I made a lot of them. And boy, it really put me right down there, and it kind of felt like I was there. And I just wanted to thank all the pastors that participated, all the volunteers, you know, even the ones that had to clean up the seeds that Pastor Schiavelli.
Seeds.
But I'm just very appreciative, and I just want to make a comment, too. A couple of comments is, one, you know, I get convention. I'm up here in Buffalo, and I've been searching for a church for years. And, you know, I just I haven't felt like I fit in. And it wasn't only too recently that, you know, God had showed me that I'm greater grace. Mm. And that I'm not going to fit in these other churches because they don't operate the way we operate.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't reach out to the community the way the Greater Grace reaches out to the community. And so I guess I get convention every week. I'll just give you a few. I actually listen to different church messages from different Greater Grace churches every week.
Rich, when you hear that music, unfortunately, it tells you that we're running out of time.
Amen.
Can you give us a call back on tomorrow's broadcast?
Tomorrow.
I will give it a try. Thank you.
We appreciate it. And thanks so much for giving us
give
a call.
Give us a church in Buffalo.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Well, thanks for joining us, friends. We'll be back tomorrow's broadcast, the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope that you'll take the time to join us then.